the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We have Jesus at prayer on a mountaintop, and this mountaintop is really the summit of vision. It's a beautiful thing, especially for consecrated men and women, to every now and then take a hike and go up and to experience this, even on the physical level, because this is a very traditional image of the ascetical mystical journey by which we ascend to God. And here Jesus is doing just that, and not only that, but passing the entire night in prayer. And we really have here a mystery of faith. Faith is a summit of vision. Last Sunday we had the image of the tower. The tower also is this structure by which we can look out upon things. And it was related to the second figure in the king deciding whether or not to go to war, because in 2 Kings 9 we have just that happening. Someone's up in the watchtower looking out, and there's someone coming, and he tells the king, and the king will deliberate whether or not we're going to go to war. And of course, the spiritual life is a spiritual war. It's a battle, and there's no quarter with the enemy. There's no treaties to be made, no compromise. They hate us, and they wish nothing but our misery. And so Jesus spending the whole night in prayer is really a symbol of the kenosis of faith, that as we ascend this mountain in the spiritual life, we can also expect an emptying out of that vision in terms of its understanding, or it's in terms of its obscurity. And Mother Mary gives us a great and the supreme model of this at the foot of the cross, where she's holding on, hoping against hope, the promises that were given to her by the Archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation. His kingdom there will be no end. And the reality before her, Jesus on the cross, and confirmed by those words of the Archangel Gabriel, nothing will be impossible for God. And so it was. So Jesus, we have almost the church in miniature here in terms of the dynamic of how it's established. Jesus' prayer, which of course is realized at its summit at the Last Supper and his passion, and of course at every Holy Mass. And following that prayer, what happens is the descent of Jesus, and it's a communio, it's a calling to himself, which is really a gathering, which is an ecclesia. And here we have it in its first forms historically with the apostles and the 12. And there are 12 men, and the catechism will point out, Blessed John Paul II has pointed out, Pope Francis has recently pointed out, that this is why it's reserved to only men. And the ordination of women is not possible because the church herself feels bound by the choice that our Lord himself made. And this is the beginning of it right here we have in the call of the 12. They're sent. This is what the word apostles actually means. They're men that are meant to be sent. And as men who have and will vow ourselves to Our Lady with the Marian vow, we know that the missionary aspect of that vow is really intrinsic to it, and so it is. It's the very mystery of love, of loving Jesus. Here we have, okay, these 12 guys are going out throughout all the world. It's an amazing project, so to speak. You couldn't even conceive of such a thing, to transform it. And so it happened, the church. For us, also, this can be realized both exteriorly with, you know, we might be sent to a mission country, four corners of the world, so to speak, but also interiorly, and maybe just a brief reflection on the interior mission of the Immaculate, which can be realized in two ways, one extensively, one intensively. And the extensive mission of the Immaculate interiorly means that every circumstances, in all situations, at all times and places, we love Jesus, right? Oftentimes with the spiritual life, we kind of get into this striving to arrive but failing to enter, right? If things aren't what they should be, this dramatic tension with the human person that, and henceforth falling into a discouragement and almost missing the opportunity at that very moment of entering into complete trust that Jesus is at work in our interior. So again, this interior mission of the Immaculate, that there's no limits, both in time and place, of loving Jesus all the time, all the time. St. Therese gives us, of course, a magnificent, she's the doctor of the little way, of how we do this and how we do it, which is the elevator rather than the ascent up the mountain. It's just being taken up into it. Is this constant fiat to one's own powerlessness and one's own poverty. And absolute poverty, to do anything, right? At the order of act, and absolute powerlessness at the level of one's being. Jesus tells us, without me you can do nothing, but with me all things are possible with Jesus. And so that double fiat, which is a really resignation, which is true spiritual poverty. So the whole, this is Marian vow at its, you know, interior aspect. Everything's meant to be this constant oblation to our Lord. Second aspect here, intensively, not only loving Jesus at all times, at every moment, but there's no limits also to the intensity with which we can love him. And why? Because it's loved with the very heart of Our Lady, which we can say there's a quasi-infinite value to, right? She's the Immaculate Conception, so just like at the Annunciation, this fiat rising out of her depths, which the Catechism will talk about how in the first reading, Colossians, in the fullness of the deity was pleased to dwell corporeally in Christ. This is why later in the readings they seek to touch him, which is the sacramental aspect of Christ. Christ in the sacred humanity is sacrament. But interiorly, in the intensity of loving Jesus, and that also, of course, is an abandonment to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that she loves Jesus in us, that we give up the kind of the self-sufficiency in the interior life and rely more and more, just like the child that St. Therese proposes for us. So we've got this call of the disciples, the apostles, and then all come up to hear Jesus and so to be healed. And this gets at the aspect of the Word of God has a healing aspect. Certainly we can talk about sacraments, but also in taking in the Word, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because this is where it all starts. So hearing the Word of God, here we have the real call for Lectio Divina, and no more powerful way to do such a thing than in the presence of Our Lady, taking up the rosary, meditating on the Word of God, not forgetting the scriptural aspect of the rosary, or not forgetting the Marian aspect of Lectio Divina, because you have the Word and Mother Mary, and then you have the conception of the Word, which is life. We want life. We want the authenticity of the life of Jesus. And so the prayer life is where it will begin. To be healed, and then they seek to touch him, because that's the sacramental touch of Christ. So we lament in our day that many that hear the Word of God don't seek to touch him in the sacraments. And so when we interact with others, there should be a sacramental impetus to introduce Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament to all, that he's with us, he's never left us, and to keep that in mind. So this day we have in mind, just a couple days from now, the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. We take these things to our interiors, and we try to be more generous and try to be more abandoning ourselves to the great work of grace that has begun in us.